That was already a lot of tears shed, huh? I think I started it this morning. I went to Alpha morning service and I preached there. I cried my eyes out. And anyways, it was really good. Jeongmin, thank you for the beautiful prayer and the scripture reading. We love you. We'll always love you. You're such... okay, I can. Stay away, stay away. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to get into the time of just delivering the word of God. If you guys don't know who I am, my name is Myeongwa Choi. I am the community pastor here. And so welcome to our community. Our community is full of people that are lively and funny and fun to be around and welcoming and, yeah, right? And good looking and all of that stuff, right? So we love just diving into the presence of God, worshiping God, receiving the word of God together. So today I have a special treat for all of us because I just got back from two nights ago from the Philippines after attending a three-day-long missions conference. And you know what missions conference does to your soul. If you've ever been to one, right? You just sense God's heart for the nations and the value of the gospel, Jesus Christ. It just comes alive. And that's what I came back with. And I would like to impart it to you through sharing stories and also preaching the word of God. Is that okay with you? So I went to a conference held by NPWM. Everyone say NPWM. NPWM. W is very hard to say. W. Whatever, right? So NPWM, it stands for Native Partners for World Missions. And this is an organization that New Philly has been partnering with for about a decade now. And we love the partners, so missionaries or pastors, whatever you want to call, the partnering with the NPWM missionaries, right? So the reason why it's called Native Partners is we partner with the local people. So people that were born in Bangladesh, they are serving as pastors, missionaries there. You know, the old paradigm is that we raise up white people, Korean people, you know, people from the first world, whatever. And then we go there, we settle down, takes 2 years, learn language 3 years and maybe 5 years. I don't know, you know, it takes much longer time to send foreigners to the missions field. And then the idea was, why do we do that? Why don't we raise up the locals of that, you know, the town, the city, and then train them up and send them back to their hometowns so that they can carry the ministry. And so that's how this missions organization started about 20 years ago, actually more than 20 years ago. And it's been really carrying a strong ministry in 19 different countries in different continents. And at this conference, 12 different countries were represented by different pastors. And I got to really have a joyful time of reunion with them. So New Philly, we partner with this missions organization over probably like 30 more than 30 probably trips. And I had the honor and privilege of going on many of these trips as well. And so, man, these men and women of God have really changed my life. And so I today prepare some pictures for you so that you can see the people and hear their stories. In the morning service, because of the cameras, I couldn't have the slides up, but you guys are special because this is my people, right? And so I prepared some pictures and slides, so we're going to take a look at them. They're good-looking faces, but also hear amazing things that God is doing in the nations. Are you guys ready? Many of these pastors come from, you know, like thriving ministries, but also many of them come from extremely difficult circumstances. The persecution and the daily struggles that they go through are really unthinkably great. However, the joy that you see in them, the hope that you see in them, it is beyond what words can describe. So I hope you can get a glimpse of that in their facial expressions. But man, these people minister in slums, mountains, orphanages, villages in the jungles. And it's incredible harvest, but also incredible hardship. So yeah, I would like to show some pictures. But before I do that, I actually want to thank you guys for praying for me. Last Sunday, I shared that I was going to go on the trip. So Monday, early in the morning, we left to the Philippines, and then we hit the ground running. I went as a translator for the conference, so Korean to English, English to Korean. I was translating back and forth and emceeing, and whatever they tell me to do, I did, right? And it was really good, but on Tuesday, I actually got sick. I specifically prayed, asked for prayer for not, you know, for me to not get sick, because I had a really intense weekend before I left. And Tuesday morning, I woke up with fever and diarrhea and more diarrhea, and it just got worse, right? So as the day went by, I was just like really sick, no energy. I was just crawling up into a ball, and I was shivering, so cold. This is Philippines, by the way, right? I'm like cold here, and it was like cold symptoms coming at me, and I was just like remembering my own sermon from last Sunday. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And it was like 2 hours before I had to go up to translate for the main session. This is where the local Filipinos came. It was like 300-400 people. It was kind of like a big deal. And I was the main translator. And I was like, God, help me. I feel so sick. And then I fell asleep for a little bit. And then in my dream, I actually fainted, right? As I was translating, I fainted on the stage, and then I was rushed to the hospital in my dream. And then in my dream, I got a big shot, right? Big shot of chusa, shot, right? On my arm. And I woke up, and then I felt completely better, right? So it was like supernatural way of experiencing God's healing. And when I woke up from the short nap, fever was gone. I had energy back, even though I skipped lunch and dinner because I wasn't able to hold on anything, you know, no food, nothing, but I just felt completely fine. So I got dressed up again, you know, okay, makeup, and I went up, and I translated, and glory to God, the conference went fantastically, and people, their locals and the pastors were really blessed. Praise God, man, I experienced some supernatural healing, and that is the power of God. When I cried out for help, God was there for me, amen? Reminder, refresher, right? So thank you for praying, and okay, now I'll show you some faces. Okay, that is me, obviously. Me and Pastor Zem and Sister Loon, okay? Pastor Zem and Sister Loon, I met them in Myanmar back in 2009. My first mission trip to Myanmar, that was New Philly's first time sending a team. If you know anything about MPWM's history, MPWM actually started with this one pastor that was studying in Manila, but he was from Myanmar. But he had no resources, no finances, and so because of him, the founder of MPWM started this missions organization because they heard about his need. And the idea was, why don't we raise him up here, send him back to his hometown and continue to show support and partnership, right? And so because the history started with Myanmar, Myanmar is a special country. But back in the days, even back in just 2009, politically things were very unstable. So the door wasn't opening up for foreigners to go in. But 2009, finally God answered our prayers. We're able to go in as a New Philly missions team. And Pastor John Michael's right there, but Pastor JM went with me. It was like a decked out, really, really strong team. We went in and we really ministered with God's heart there. And so on that trip, Pastor Zem and Sister Loon, we met them. They were the national directors in the country. And Pastor, I put their picture up first because when I saw them, it was such a joy to see them restored in health. So when I first met Sister Loon, we all thought she was pregnant because her belly was like as big as a pregnant belly. And we all thought, oh, maybe she's expecting a baby. I know Pastor Sam looks a little old, but, you know, we all thought that. And it actually wasn't a baby. She was just bloated. And it was from an undiagnosable disease that doctors don't know what to do, but it was like beyond gas level. Like, it was like big, right? And so they asked us to lay hands and pray for her. And Sister Loon, as you can kind of see, there's no gas left in her body, right? I don't think it was gas, but you know. So Pastor Sam said, it's like gas in her body, pray for release. But she got healed from that. And also a few years ago, Pastor Sam had a brain aneurysm, really bad case. And so he got rushed to the hospital. And even after the surgery and whatnot, the year after the surgery, I saw him at previous conference. This is about 3 years ago. Pastor Zem was there, but he wasn't really there. He was like all over the place, couldn't really make eye contact. His speech was not straight. And I knew, okay, this is the lingering, symptoms from the brain aneurysm. However, this time around, I saw him. He is totally fine, right? There's no lingering sickness after the brain aneurysm. He's as jolly as before. He's as witty as before. Pastor Zem is like healthy in fullness. And so when I got to worship with them, I actually found them. And then I went straight in between them. I divided them up, right? And I was like, I'm going to worship right here. And on my right, Pastor Sam, on my left, Sister Loon, I was just praising God, thanking the Lord for restoration of their health. You know, these are mighty men and women that are serving the Lord with so much sacrifice. And I was so thankful to see them in full health. I know it's all by God's grace. So happy to see them happy, right? And healthy, okay? So that's Pastor Sam and Sister Loon. And then next, this man of God, his name is Pastor Tarigan. I know some of us, we've known him. We love him. He's from Medan, Indonesia. I also met this man my trip to Jakarta. He was our translator. He's right now 66 years old. I always say that he's my Indonesian father, and he's my hero of faith. Pastor Tarigan is a humble man who suffered from 7 heart attacks, okay? And I asked him, 7 heart burns? He's like, no, heart attack, like heart attack, right? And 7 times he was taken to the hospital, but he was miraculously, he will always get up. He will always be healed. And he always says this, my life right now is a bonus. That's what he tells us. My life right now is a bonus. I was dead and Jesus raised me. My life is a bonus. Not just in the gospel sense. Of course, we were all once dead in sin. However, we are now alive in Christ. But beyond that, literally he was once dead and then now he's alive, right? And 7 times, right? And so Pastor Tarigan always says, this one line that he told me at the airport when we were saying goodbye after our trip to Medan. I'll never forget this line. Whenever I get challenged, when I feel weak in ministry, I always remind myself of what he said. He said, come back to Medan. As long as I have breath in my lungs, I will be serving the Lord. So come back to Medan. And he is surely serving the Lord. And I know he will until his last breath. So this is a humble, amazing man of God, Pastor Tarigan. I wanted you guys to meet him and to see him. God is doing amazing things in Medan, Indonesia, by the way. We saw craziest miracles there. You know, the miracles that I love talking about, the blind eye opening, the man who couldn't see for 15 years, his eyesight was restored on the spot in front of all the eyewitnesses. He came in with a cane, right? And with his wife carrying him almost, he left without the sunglasses, without the cane, weeping as he was able to see his wife's face after 15 years. And we witnessed that in front of us. You know, that is the power of God. That is a miracle of God that we were able to witness, right? And also a lame woman who walked in with the cane as well. Without even anyone laying hands on her, she was just praising God as she was sitting down, right? And we asked, okay, we want to pray for healing, physical healing. Anybody want to receive prayer? She got up to receive prayer to realize that she was already healed, right? Her leg that was bent was already straightened out. So she got out, oh, I want prayer. And she was like, oh, actually. And she just started jumping up and down and praising God. We got to witness that on the spot, that is the power of Holy Spirit. You know, God is moving in these nations. And Pastor Tarigan was, oh, hallelujah. She couldn't walk, but now she's walking. You know, we did all these things together. These missionaries are changing the nations for Jesus. Amen. These 2 good-looking men. Where do I even begin? These 2 missionaries are from Malaysia. They're brothers. Pastor Peter, taller one. He's big. His older brother, Pastor John, he's the younger one. They're like my uncles in Christ, right? they're my brothers in Christ. They minister in Borneo, Malaysia. And Pastor Peter, okay, I'm not exaggerating. He oversees more than a network of churches that's more than 2,000. Okay? I'm not adding one more zero. He oversees over 2,000 churches. I don't know how he does it. But it's network of pastors, and he's like the chief head honcho of that, right? And so he's a busy man, really giving his life to the Lord. His wife does powerful children's ministry. Pastor John, let me talk about this man for a little bit. When I went to Malaysia on a mission trip, there was one of the toughest weeks that I had in my life. I believe Todd was there with me. Todd said it was fine, but it was hard for me, okay? But we went to these longhouses, and what longhouses are is, you know, in Korea and in America, in these countries, we have apartments, right? Apartments are like a house on top of a house on top of a house, right? Longhouse is a house next to a house next to a house. So it's like an apartment lying down. Okay? And so it's like long, literally a long house with like hundreds, up to about 200 homes are all connected. And in the middle, there's a big hallway. So you can imagine like kids and people just come out and chill in the hallway. And that's we held our services. We would pray for the sick. So we did that visiting long houses, literally door to door to door to door to, and it's endless, right? And then every house you go to, they give you Milo, right? and then biscuit, and then next house, Milo with biscuits. Next house, Milo with biscuits. Next house, you know what I'm saying, you know, you just get fed. Anyway, so the Longhouse ministry is powerful because no one comes to visit these people. These are people that are born in one longhouse and they live there for their entire life, most of them, right? So they are stuck. Not stuck. They're together as a community for decades. And the ministers, Pastor John, a lot of times he goes there alone to visit these longhouses. And, you know, we visited longhouses in the jungles or whatever. And he was showing me these pictures at the conference. Myeongwon, you need to come back to Borneo because I need to take you to this longhouse, right? And I was like, oh, it looks like you're hiking. Oh, are you into hiking these days? And he goes, no. This is on the way to the longhouse, right? And he goes, it's 4 to 5 hour hike up to the mountain. And he goes, for you, 6 to 7 hours. He knows me. And I was like, wow. So you go here every week? And he's like, yeah, we pack up our equipment, 30 kilograms of stuff, and they hike up the mountain for 5 hours. And guess how many people get together on the top of the mountain? Over 2,000. There's over 2,000 people who heard the gospel through his ministry and now get together to worship Jesus. And they all love him there, right? And he was like, you need to come back because I need to take you to this longhouse. And, you know, he was like, you went to the one in Thailand. You saw crocodiles, right? And I was like, crocodiles? I didn't. So he took us to this one longhouse where you had to take the canoe for like an hour to get to. And he was like, oh, no crocodile? There is a lot of crocodiles. Oh, I'm happy you didn't see any. And I was like, thank you for telling me now. Because we had no idea. But we went to visit, and then it was a beautiful time. Glad we didn't die. But yeah, Pastor John does this on a daily basis. That is a beautiful ministry that he's carrying. God's glory is manifesting in Malaysia. Amen? Come on. There's more. This man, Pastor Ishan, from Bangladesh. 5 years ago, God sent me to Bangladesh. Another difficult week of my life, but for them, this is their daily life. Bangladesh, very conservative. Women cannot go out after sundown. So we have to get up very early in the morning to ministry, like 3, 4, bam, 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 bam. And at sundown, we're like back in the hotel, right? And what we did was visiting villages, village to village to village. Not on a car, on a tractor with no nothing, right? So you sit around a plank. Your legs are dangling and like, you know, the road's crazy. And like, you just hold on, right? Hang tight. And then after like 3 hour ride, you just stop in front of a tree. And then there you go. You have a service there, right? And then you preach the gospel. When foreigners arrive, these people have never seen foreigners before. There's like a one TV in each town. That kind of rural area, right? So because we're foreigners, right? Everybody comes out of the field, like a cornfield, rice field, and you just see people just coming out with their sickle, with like they're all shirtless, and all these farmers come out and the kids. Hundreds of people gather under the tree, and as a tree shadow moves, people move like with the shade, right? So you're like preaching here, and then like slowly you're preaching, you end here. Anyways, everybody's just shifting. You know, this is like, these are the villages where I say one line, God is blah, blah, right? And then Pastor Ishan takes like 3 minutes to translate. Why? Because he has to give the context. Because these people have no idea what Christianity or the gospel or Jesus. So I say, Jesus is alive. And he has to explain who Jesus is. It's like 3 more paragraphs, right? So I didn't know that. So I was like, what is taking him forever to translate? Come on, you know? And simple message goes out. All these people want to believe and give their lives to Jesus. On this trip, we visited more than 20 villages. And guess what though? There was not a single church. It was all tree to tree to tree, right? And then, guess what? No church building. We met like a handful of believers on this trip at over 20 locations. And Pastor Ishan comes up to me and says, Myeongwon, you need to come back to Bangladesh, right? Because now there's more than 7 churches to visit. He's not talking about buildings. He's talking about buildings and the congregation. He says, now there's 7 churches that have weekly Sunday services going and people get together to worship Jesus. You got to come again. And there is thousands of more villages to go, you know, tree to tree to tree, you know? And so Pastor Ishan was saying, like, amazing reports. You know, you can see by his smile. Look how happy he is, right? So man, God is moving in these nations. God is alive. He's powerful. Gospel is, and God's kingdom is expanding at this hour. We cannot be blinded to this, right? you know, some of you might be thinking, well, what am I doing with life, you know, when God is moving in these nations? Let me tell you, God is moving in Korea as well. God is moving at your work as well. God is moving at your family's gatherings as well. You know, the same God that is moving in the towns of Bangladesh, they are, that God is moving in your life right now. You know, I was complaining because I was like, God, I want to go to all these nations. I want to be at a longhouse right now. And God's like, no, you be at Emmaus. No, you be at Omega. You know, that's where I called you to be. That's where you're going to accomplish my Great Commission. So if you're tempted to think, oh my gosh, I want to be there right now, experiencing God's glory, you know, that same Lord is moving in your life where you're called to be. The Great Commission at the end of Matthew chapter 28, you know, we think that the Great Commission is about going, right? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, right? We put the emphasis on go. Okay, therefore, go. But it's actually, there is in that sentence, there's only one imperative, one command. And that is actually not on go. It's actually make disciples. The sentence goes actually like this. As you go, as you are there, make disciples of all nations. It's not about, let me tell you, Pastor Ishan never went to Bangladesh. He was just born and raised there, right? It's not about going. It is about making disciples. It is about preaching the gospel, making Jesus known to where you are. You don't have to go somewhere to do this. You know, I do believe in short-term missions. I've been on many, and I believe that there's a function and a special role. It's an encouragement. It's equipment. When we go, we need to go. When the Lord sends us to these missions, look at them. They're all wanting us back. Why? Because it served a purpose. However, if you think that for me to accomplish God's mission, for me to get involved in missions and Great Commission, I need to go somewhere, that's a false mindset. You don't have to go somewhere. You can make disciples where you are. Amen? And so, you know, I share these things to encourage ourselves. However, not to say, you know, go somewhere and get involved. Be there and get involved is what I'm saying. Be where you are and get involved. Okay, where am I? You know, I share these, you know, restoration of health, healing, ministries blowing up, people gathering to worship Jesus. Amazing harvest. However, there's incredible hardship that's happening and daily death threats of yourself and also your family members. Physical attacks, financial difficulties, so common. Systematic persecution, false accusations coming from the government. I can't share too many of these stories. Some of them are completely dangerous for me to share publicly, so I can't. But I will share some of the mild, I guess, stories that doesn't have too much of a security concerns. I couldn't show pictures like I said, but here I can. There's no camera, right? I want to share a story of Pastor Abbas so we can pray for him. Pastor Abbas is the man in the middle. Pastor Ishan, right next to Pastor Ishan. He also is from Bangladesh. About a year ago, the Muslim, he ministers in a Muslim area, and this Muslim extremist started to attack, come and break the water pipe and to get in and break the fences and with threats and whatnot. And they ended up murdering his father-in-law, so his wife's father. And then the threat and the danger became too great, so they had to leave the house. So they've been homeless for about a year. And in that journey, they found out that his wife was pregnant. As they are seeking for a place to just, for safety, realize that, you know, they're into their ninth year of marriage, and they got pregnant with a child. And they're going from place to place, sometimes foodless, homeless, obviously not safe, taking care of his pregnant wife that's also sick. And she's already 8 months, right? So next month, she has to give birth. But financially, he's not able to hold any job because he's discriminated as a Christian. So because of his faith, he can't have any paying job. He's running for safety from place to place. And Pastor Abbas came to this conference. His wife told him to go and ask for prayers from the saints. His wife sent him off because she herself is like so pregnant and, you know, but like told her wife, Abbas, you need to go and tell them about our situation. Seek prayer and seek help. So Pastor Abbas was here, you know, once again, with hope and joy on his face, sharing about his terrible situation, about his wife that is due next month with no money, right? And we were just crying with him. And, you know, we're looking into ways to help him financially as well. And, you know, the things that these pastors go through are not just from, like, Paul's letters. He wasn't the only one that went through it. Like, these days, even more so, persecution is so real, and it is becoming more vicious. We need to pray for these brothers. That's Pastor Abbas. And I also want to share about Pastor Ijaz. He's from Pakistan. I had a really good conversation with this man at our last lunch. At the end of the conversation, you know, he goes through, once again, a lot of Muslim persecution, and he says it so casually, so nonchalantly, like, oh yeah, that's what's happening in our nation. Please pray for Pakistan. And he goes, at the end, I said, oh, I hope to see you again, Pastor Ijaz. You know, 2020 conference will be in Korea. Will you be able to come? And Pastor Ijaz goes, Lord willing. And I thought, oh, finances, right? Flight, schedule, you know. And he goes, Lord willing, if he keeps me alive. Right, until then, until 2020. If I'm still alive, by God's grace, I will come. And I felt like I was punched in the face because I thought, oh, if you get money for the flights, you know, if you could empty your schedule for 3 days. But he actually meant, if the Lord keeps me alive. But this is his dedication. This is his service to the Lord. This is his choice. He finds Jesus to be more worthy than anything in this world. And Pastor Ijaz knows it so well. And he says, yeah, if I'm kept alive, I'll be there. See you, sister. God bless you. He walks away, right? And I'm like, are you Pakistani's Jesus? You know, this man, I know he's going to change his country. I know God is going to use this man to change Pakistan. For sure. After he left, I sat with my dear sister Tina Tan Lunding, that's her full name. I first met her as Pastor Alfonso's wife. She's from Mindanao, Philippines. I've been to the southern area. It's actually quite dangerous because it's an Al-Qaeda, like, infected area. What do you call that? Like, this dangerous area, right? Anyways, I've been there many times for ministry, and these people reach out to the tribal peoples. There's a lot of tribal people groups there. And, you know, the tribal people are really deep into, like, voodoo, black magic, and all these spiritual things. So it's a tough missions field. And Pastor Alfonso and Sister Tina were doing ministry very actively. In 2012, Tina, I didn't know the full story. I've known this sister for many years. She's like my mom's age, but I never heard her, like, a full story. And I got to hear her. I got to pray with her, cry with her. And I just want to share her beautiful testimony in the Lord. There's a lot of loss involved, but I think it's a beautiful story. And Tina will be happy that I share this with other saints. In 2012, her first son, who's actually my age, he got sick, like mild fever. He was taken to the hospital 3 days after he passed away in the hospital from pneumonia. With sudden, he was a healthy man, very involved in ministry, and Tina was obviously heartbroken from the loss of her first son. And only 2 months later, her husband, Pastor Arfi, got diagnosed with blood cancer. And after being in coma for 4 months in the hospital, Pastor Afi also passed away. So within the span of 6 months, she lost her firstborn and also her husband. And what happened afterwards is really mind-blowing. She is more active in ministry than ever in her life. She really received comfort from the Lord, and I can say it's supernatural. And over the lunch, she was just telling me, you know, I asked her, so what brings you joy in life these days? You know, tell me about what's going on. And she was just freely sharing. And she talked about how her three children gave her so much joy because they're all faithfully serving the Lord, right? And walking with God. And that's such joy. So she has three more children that's still alive, and especially her youngest son. His name is Aldrich. And she was like, he's now youth president. You know, that's always something to boast about, right? At his church, he's a youth president. And when I met him, he was this small. He was a small boy. And, I mean, young boy, right? And Aldrich now is apparently taller than me, right? And So how where did I start? Aldrich and his cousin James, they actually posted a video on YouTube. I'll show you this one. This is 4 years ago, more than 4 years ago, right? It's called Dance With My Father Again. Anybody know this song, Dance With My Father Again? Anybody have watched this video before? Okay, oh, okay, good. So this video, he posted it with his cousin James, who both of them are worship leaders. They're jamming. They just decided to, you know, these two boys from the Mindanao, Philippines, they just decided to put it up on YouTube, right? You can tell they didn't really prepare much, so they just put it up, right? And then soon after, Pastor Arfi got diagnosed with the blood cancer. If you know the lyrics of this song, it's missing the father who's not there anymore. You know, it's I wish I could dance with my father again type of song. And so Aldrich had no idea that it was going to be his own story. However, so he got diagnosed and he passed away. And after Pastor Alfonso passed away, this video went viral. And we don't know why, how. But this video of two Filipino boys singing just went viral, like out of the blue, right? And then it got like over a million views. And Ellen, the Ellen show, the American show, Ellen DeGeneres show, they took note of this viral video. I'll show you. There you go. And they started looking for them. And then they found them and then flew them out. And then they were on the show talking about the picture in the backdrop. That is Pastor Alfonso. His picture got to talk about, you know, when I posted this video, I had no idea that this was actually going to be my story. And this song is even more meaningful. You know, Aldrich is sharing and James is sharing, you know. And all of this happened. And this is how big Aldrich is now. Look at him. Look how much more hipster the video looks. Praise God. You know, it went from like, you know, and so they are still singing praise songs, posting it up. Look at how many people are following them, right? Aldrich is strong in faith. He's serving the Lord. And he brings so much joy to Tina. And Tina was just sharing how much she loves her son. You know, her service to the Lord. His service to the Lord. And then she goes on to say this. And serving the Lord brings me joy. Serving the Lord brings me the greatest joy. That is a source of life in me. And she started to tell me about, like, she visited this village in the middle of a pineapple farm and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, Tina, like, are you okay? And she's like, yes, this brings me so much life. When I see God move, God manifests his love to his people, that's what gives me life. And I'm going to do this, you know. And she was talking about her joy and the hope of, you know, seeing her son, seeing her husband in heaven. And she was preaching to me that this life and what we see, how it is so temporary, it's transient. She was preaching to me, but I'm going to see my son and my husband. They were faithful until the end. I'm going to be faithful until the end, until the Lord returns. And Tina and I just wept over our lunch. It was a beautiful time. And I was reminded of Apostle Paul's letter. And that's what we're going to read together. 2 Corinthians 4. Verses 7 to 18. You know, I shared about some victories and I shared also about their hardship. And I hope that this letter doesn't just sound like Apostle Paul's letter anymore, but the saints that are all across the nations, this is our confession and our cry. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 18, I prepared it in NIV. Can you see the, is it too small? Okay, so I want us to read it together. Let's read it together starting verse 7. 1, 2, 3, go. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that this life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, I need to do it. Okay, sorry. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. Mm. thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. Amen. Scripture. I don't need many words, I believe. The Bible calls the believers, us, jars of clay. Everyone say, jars of clay. A clay jar is of little value or beauty. Yeah, I want to show you a picture. I just found this. Okay, this is like a beautiful one. Okay, this is like a nice one. But if you think about the biblical times, they didn't have any other material that was lighter to carry things in, right? So this is like equivalent to us, I say, like plastic bags for our culture. For us, like jar, clay jar doesn't communicate much, right? But if I tell you, we're like plastic bags, right? That's just everywhere, really common, of no worth. Do anybody who collect plastic bags? From like Costco, I mean Costco doesn't, but like, you know, Inmart bags and like Paris baguette bag, or some of you do. Okay, sorry. But you know, like these are just bags that you just use to carry stuff, you know. And do you ever carry like blocks of gold in your plastic bag? You know what I'm talking about? You know, you don't carry anything precious in it because it's easily, you know, rippable, breakable. Clay jar is just like that. For the like people of that time, it was of no value, easily breakable. It's just everywhere, like a Tupperware, like plastic Tupperware type of carrier, right? So it calls us like plastic bags. We don't have, I'm sorry, a clay jar, right? That we don't necessarily carry a lot of value or beauty in itself. However, the irony and the beauty and the mystery is that God decided to put this treasure, the Bible says, this treasure in jars of clay. What is this treasure referring to? It is the gospel message, the treasure of God. The glory of God seen through Jesus Christ, and that precious message, the greatest treasure, God decided to put it in these plastic bags like jars of clay. He decided to put it in you and I. Why, God? Why would you ever put something so precious in such breakable and fragile and worthless containers? Wouldn't you want like a marble goblet or I don't know, whatever, right? Why would you do that? And it also explains why God did that. So that the world knows that the surpassing power is not coming from us. So that people will know that it is not this clay jar or this glorious plastic bag that is doing the work or that is expanding God's kingdom or anything. The power does not come from men, so that people will know that it comes from the treasure inside. That's God's wisdom. God did that on purpose. In the midst of our mortality. Anybody here aging with me? You feel it in your bodies? College student, you don't know what you're talking about. If you're like 30-somethings or 40-something, you're with me, okay? Aging mortal bodies. Those verses are speaking straight to me. I'm not going to live forever, right? My body is going to be weak. You know, this is talking about how we are carrying the death of Jesus Christ. This is talking about our mortality, our limitations, our weaknesses, how we are going to be not here in 50, 80, 120 years of time, no matter how long you live, right? And in the midst of all of our weaknesses, limitations, our aging bodies and mortality, the life of Christ can be manifested to the world through you and I. And the world will see that and know, oh, it is not Jungmin. It is not Todd. It is not Luna. It is the treasure that is inside. It is the gospel. It is the life of Jesus that I am witnessing. Oh, the power doesn't come from Connor. Oh, the power of Myeongha is not from Myeongha. It's actually from the gospel message that she carries. It's not, the value doesn't come from the container. It comes from the content. The substance is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we'll look at, I love verses 8 to 9. We're going to look at this. I read it in NIV, but I quoted these phrases from ESV. There's two perspectives that are presented in these verses. I'll read this in ESV. It says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." These phrases are presented in pairs. They all compares, right? They all come in pairs, right? First part is admitting the reality that we live in. Like the reality, right, of today, right? Oh, afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. And the writer, Apostle Paul, admits that it's true. He's not in denial. He's not denying what is happening. If you look at what Apostle Paul went through, it's written in chapter 11. Read it later. He went through near-death situations many times and really great hardships. And this man is writing, okay, I admit, okay, there's affliction. Crushed, perplexed. Oh, sorry, that's not true. Afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. And I admit, it's all true. However, there is the letter part in each pair. What does it say? Not crushed, not driven to despair, not forsaken, and not destroyed. There is greater reality beyond what he can see, beyond what he experiences. So we call this one, the physical realm that we live in, this is, let's say, reality. There's a greater reality that you cannot see. Are you with me? But if the worldly people looks at it, they cannot see the unseen. They only focus on what they're able to see. They look at the lives of these missionaries, they're going to scoff at them. Foolish people. They're wasting away. They're wasting their lives on this religion or their church work. And they're going to laugh at you. And they're going to scoff at you like they laughed at Jesus Christ, our Lord. However, we see something beyond what is visible. We know that there's a greater reality in the spiritual realm. And that is what God tells us to focus on. Two perspectives. What perspective do you carry? Are you stuck in your reality? Or are you able to look beyond and say there's greater reality in the kingdom of God? There's greater reality that I can find in Jesus Christ. Are you stressed out? Oh yeah, it's okay. Admit it. I am so stressed out because of my boss. My work is so messed up. However, I am not forgotten. However, I am not forsaken. There's a greater reality that you can proclaim like these people, these missionaries and Apostle Paul proclaimed. Are you fixated on what you can see only? Then our lives are just like the lives of the common people, the people who cannot see anything beyond the physical world. And it's easy for us to be that way. Let me tell you, I came from this blessed conference. 3 days, I was, wow, God, heavenly perspective. You're moving in the nation, supernatural. I was like, wow. I came back. 2 days passed. It's hard for me to see. All of a sudden, my eyes are all, it's all foggy. It's hard for me to believe. And you know, 3 days ago, I was like, I can believe anything. 2 days later, I'm like, where's my husband? oh, sorry. too real, right? It's hard to see anything beyond what I can see with my physical eyes. Let me tell you, right? Look at your bank account. Come on, God, you know, it's hard to see beyond anything beyond these numbers. Don't you think so? It's easy. I'm not here to condemn you all that you can't see anything beyond. I'm here to encourage us all to choose to look beyond. This must be our confession. Yes, we are afflicted. Yes, life is 힘들어. Life is hard. Yes. But I admit, but there's greater reality that I hold on to. There's greater promise that I hold on to, and I find it in Christ Jesus, in the world that I cannot see. And the world will laugh at me. Laugh at me then. Laugh at me. People laugh at me that I'm wasting my life. What are you doing? You graduated from the best woman's university in the world, and what are you doing? What am I doing? I'm doing the work of God that you cannot see. I'm expanding the kingdom of God even though you cannot see. Oh, I see it. It's coming. Jesus is coming back. Come on, guys. It's fine if the world laughs at you. For your faith, for your promises that you're holding on to, it's fine. You gotta know that you need to keep looking. You gotta know that you need to look up. And not just look at what's in your hands, but beyond that. Church, can we do that? Let's be encouraged together. And let's make this confession our own confessions. And let's be able to preach this, pray this, and speak this over the hardships that even other brothers and sisters go through. This is my prayer for all the pastors that I met from all these nations, over their hardships, over their sufferings, over their daily threats of death, over their family situations. This is my prayer that they're afflicted, yes, in every way, but they will not be crushed. And that is my prayer. And if I don't believe this in my own life, I cannot believe it for others. We gotta believe this. This is the image that I want to end with. Take a good look at it. The words are not important, just the image. Verse 17, read it again. It says, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Beyond all comparison. I thought, no, Apostle Paul is losing his mind. He's calling what he went through light momentary affliction. Light momentary. Light and momentary? Do you know what you went through? Light? You died almost many times. You got shipwrecked, flogged, beat down, left bleeding. Light? Momentary? How many years have you been doing this for? For me, momentary is like 2 hours, okay? Like, what? Light and momentary affliction? He's able to say this only because his grid is eternity. Because this man knows when our time, when our clock stops, our biological clock stops, when our souls will leave our bodies. This man knows after this life, there's more. This man understands that this life isn't everything. This man understands our mortality. However, beyond that, he understands eternity. If we are able to see eternity, like Apostle Paul did, our lives will change. Our priorities will change. Like what we do, things will change. This man saw eternity, the weight of glory that was coming at him. And he said, what I'm going through right now? Light. Momentary. It's nothing. Because of the surpassing weight of glory that is coming. And I find it in Christ. It's coming. Apostle Paul is not out of his mind. He sees something beyond what the world sees. And I hope and pray that we are able to look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. And have a confession like his. Oh, this life, troubles can shake me. There is so much more than this life. I want us to just close our eyes and we're going to pray together, but I want us to see something. So let's close our eyes, get ready to pray. I want you to see, like I showed you through the slide, I want you to see a jar of clay. Imagine a jar of clay. Not a fancy one. Sorry, but a simple one. For like a daily use. A thief comes into your house, he's not going to steal that type of jar. A jar of clay. I just want you to imagine that. And I want you to see God's hand entering the picture and putting the great treasure of heaven, Jesus Christ, and his gospel message, the hope of the world, the treasure of heaven and earth, the glory of God seen through the Son of God. I want you to imagine the glorious treasure of Jesus just being put and deposited inside of that jar of clay.
want you to imagine, like the scripture says, let it shine in the darkness. I want you to imagine that treasure just shining into every corner, and everything in that jar is just like full of light. The gospel enters you and all darkness vanishes. I want you to imagine that right now. That is the truth. That is what happened to all of us. That is our testimony.